Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Beasley swings it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, as always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Thanks for tuning in here tonight on the heels of the Killer Bees. And we got a lot to get into here tonight. Not only do we have the Euros opening up on Friday, but we've got Copa America right here in Houston. We're going to speak about those two tournaments, go over the groups, talk about a few key players, and get into everything that's going to be these dramatic tournaments this summer. Also, we'll talk a little bit of Houston Dynamo, Houston Dash. Dynamo kind of been out of sight, out of mind here with time off here in the international break. We will get them set up for their game against Atlanta United and then back home against Seattle. We are streaming at ESPN975.com. As always, that's where you can get the podcasts, also at Spotify, Apple, and Google. And I will remind you, with the Copa America here in Houston, we got June 22nd, Mexico, Jamaica, June 24th, Colombia, and Paraguay, and then July 4th, knockout stage with Argentina. I do remind you, you can get tickets at LSSE.net, LSSE.net. We want that World Cup feel. Well, you'll get it with Copa America. I don't think there's any question about that. And by the way, that July 4th knockout game, if you want to think ahead here, that could very well be and likely will be Argentina and Lionel Messi, if you want to get your tickets to that one, as long as Argentina wins their Group A and they are going into the Copa America as one of the favorites. So let's get into it. Let's get into the Copa America right now. So we'll talk about the different groups. And first off, let's start with Group A, which obviously includes Argentina, Peru, Chile, and Canada. So Argentina is going to come into this as the favorites. Obviously, Lionel Messi. They are the defending champions of the last Copa America. You know, one thing that I go right to is their midfield. Enzo Fernandez, Alex McAllister, Rodrigo De Paul. These are sort of the protectors, the controllers of this team to allow Lionel Messi to do the creation. Very solid midfield, team with a lot of unity. Great stuff under Lionel Scaloni. They are the World Cup champions and a very similar team that they've had, obviously, in the past. Lautaro Martinez, by the way, Serie A Golden Boot winner, okay, up front. Chile would be a team that I think would probably be the other team to advance out of this group, I would think. Their manager, Ricardo Carreca. And Chile is getting a lot of the same names, Arturo Vidal, Gary Medal, maybe getting a little bit long in the tooth is them. So then we go to Group B. Obviously, we just saw what Brazil did against Mexico up in College Station. Remarkable moment for soccer in Texas. 85,000 people plus. A lot of people enjoying that match, including some people who won tickets here on Soccer Matters. So I was happy to see some of the photographs they were posting and the enjoyment that they had going up there. But that was a historic moment on the campus of Texas A&M. So obviously Brazil's got the depth, the talent. We know that. The new manager in Dorival. But they do have real pressure, as they always do. Haven't had the greatest World Cup qualifying campaign so far. So they got all the names, the star quality. Vinny Jr., who could be the star of the whole tournament. Rodrigo, Lucas Paqueta. And then, of course, you saw Endrick come off the bench and produce the header in stoppage time that beat Mexico in the friendly 3-2. But they've got individuals that can damage, and they have what is always that pressure to do nothing less than win this thing. And then the other amazing thing, that is one of the other tournament favorites, Colombia, is in Group B as well. Unbeaten in 22, they got an Argentine manager, Nestor Lorenzo. He is a great story. I mean, this guy has been an assistant coach his entire career before a stint at Melgar in Peru and then getting the Colombia head coaching job. Pretty amazing. They got the game changer, Luis Diaz, maybe a little bit older now, but still a guy that connects and can make the pass in Jaime Rodriguez, who had World Cup glory years back. But the game changer there is Luis Diaz of Liverpool. Let's go on to Group C. And Group C, oh, and just before we leave Group B. So it's Mexico, Ecuador, Venezuela, and Jamaica. I just went over Group D, not to confuse you. So Group D is Brazil, Colombia, Paraguay, and Costa Rica. Paraguay and Costa Rica are the long shots in that group. So I'm going out of order here a little bit. Now we'll go back to Group B. And Group B includes Mexico, Ecuador, Venezuela, and Jamaica. I'm going to say in Group B, Ecuador is the obvious favorite. All-time leading goal scorers enter Valencia. Moises Caicedo plays in the Premier League. Youth experience, a nice blend there of players in Europe and younger players. So I'm going to go with Ecuador as the favorite in Group B. The Vino Tinto of Venezuela, they'll be an outside, but they will be competitive. Jamaica will be competitive. Will they be disciplined enough? I'm going to say that Mexico is going to find a way to advance under their manager, Jaime Lozano. Santi Jimenez, can he start breaking out and produce something in this tournament? Of course, they've got Premier League experience with Edson Alvarez. So there you have. That's Group B. And the one group that we have yet to get to, and we're going to get to now, is a group that includes the U.S., and that is Group C. So the clear favorite here, and one of the favorites to win the entire tournament, is Uruguay, led by Marcelo Bielsa. So they have a manager that can make a difference in a tournament like this. There's no question. They've got a lot of confidence right now. Darwin Nunez is banging in a ton of goals. I think he's got ridiculous goals in the last five games, I think 11 in their last five games. It's a team that can blend good possession, but still have that, you know, that Uruguayan toughness and discipline. And with a manager like Marcelo Bielsa, that's one that's going to be one of the favorites to win the tournament, along with Argentina, Colombia, and Brazil. The USA is in this group, along with Panama and Bolivia. And we're not feeling great about the U.S. after the demolition 5-1 from Colombia, a team that didn't look really up for the moment on this day. You can always find something positive. They had a few passages of play and time periods where they looked okay, but I think for the most part has been a bit of a struggle. Now, the real question here is, I don't know what Tyler Adams can contribute in this tournament based on injury. But one thing we know is the U.S. misses him dramatically in a big, big way. They miss the ground he covers. They missed his leadership. There really did not seem to be leadership in the midfield for the U.S. in that loss to Colombia. The other problem, Sergiño Dest out. And that's a man that balances off the attacking play of Anthony Robinson on the left, along with Pulisic, with his play on the right and his comfort on the ball and helping the U.S. build out of the back. So Sergiño Dest is out for the entire tournament. No telling what Tyler Adams can do. These are two huge misses for the United States. And you're not going to get like-for-like replacements for these guys. So that means there's going to be more pressure on Greg Berhalter to make things happen in this tournament. And look, I think the U.S., injuries or not, I mean, it's at home. It's on U.S. soil. It's a great replication of what's going to happen in World Cup 2026. And the U.S. is going to have to certainly go deep in this tournament if we're going to be convinced, injuries or not. And they play Brazil tomorrow, so we're going to find out what type of response they have. Hopefully they have a good one. The U.S. usually does respond. By the way, in their group, Panama does not fear the United States anymore. Panama does not fear the United States anymore, and we'll have a local connection with Coco Carrasquilla of the Houston Dynamo on that team. 16 teams in the Copa America, top two advance. It'll run from June 20th to July 14th. You get your tickets at lsse.net. You know, a couple of the real star players to keep an eye on, obviously, Leo Messi, Darwin Nunez, Vinicius Jr., but this is a tournament in the United States that showcases top talent from around the world, and every game is going to provide some real interest. Back to Darwin Nunez. He's got 8 goals in his last 5 games for Uruguay, just to let you know that. Brazil has won 3 of the last 7 Copa Americas, but it is the defending champions, Argentina, right now, who are the horse that's going to be chased in this. So that's Copa America. Let's drift into now the 24 teams in the 17th edition of the European Championships, the Euros. By the way, catch these games down at Pitch 25, Hugh O'Connor's Pub. These are great soccer-watching bars in Houston, and there's going to be a ton of people out for these games. 24 teams as opposed to 16 in the Copa America. The games are going to be played in Berlin, Cologne, Dortmund, Dusseldorf, Frankfurt, Gelsenkirchen, Hamburg, Leipzig, Munich, and Stuttgart. Tournament opens Friday, Germany and Scotland, as the country of Germany will host this. First time, by the way, that Germany has hosted the Euros since reunification. That's a nice little side note. Group A, Germany, Scotland, Hungary, and Switzerland. Group B, you have Spain, Croatia, Italy, and Albania. Group C, Slovenia, Denmark, Serbia, and England. England is stumbling into this tournament after a loss to Iceland. A lot of pressure on Gareth Southgate, although everybody always considers a favorite in England in these tournaments, whether that's warranted or not. They certainly have the talent. Group D, the Netherlands, France, Poland, Austria. Tough group there. Kylian Mbappe. And then you've got in Group E, the Ukraine, Belgium, Slovakia, and Romania. And then Group F is Portugal, the Czech Republic, Georgia, and Turkey. Again, June 14th through July 14th. So the difference here is with the amount of teams in this 24, top two in each group advance, and then the 4 best third place finishers. So essentially, you're going to play the group stages for 16 teams to advance out of 24. But again, another great watch. And again, we've got just so much football on this summer. Pretty incredible what we've got to look forward to. But there is a lot of concern right now around the United States, and we'll see what they do tomorrow night against Brazil to tip us off before they head into their play in Copa America in a group that includes Uruguay, Panama, and Bolivia. All right, Houston Dynamo have been on break. They will not have Coco Carrasquilla, who's away from Panama. They will be at Atlanta United on Saturday. Now, Atlanta United is 13th in the East. They have a record of 4-8-4, a +1 goal differential. Okay, so we all know that they fired Gonzalo Pineda, who used to be the Seattle Sounders assistant coach. He was fired. They've got an interim coach now in Rob Valentino. But here it is. They're 13th in the East. They're 4-8-4. They have a +1 goal differential, but they're only 3 points out of a playoff spot. Their big striker, who's an excellent player, was scoring goals, used to be at Celtic. Georgios Giakoumakis is apparently headed to Cruz Azul. And they are coming off a 3-2 home loss to Charlotte. So it's a bit of a mixed bag down there, which makes them a dangerous opponent. Thiago Almada, who was a World Cup winner with Argentina, did not make the Copa America roster. He's available. They will not have Caleb Wiley, one of their outside backs, who's off with the Olympic team. Brooks Lennon will be there. But that's an interesting situation with Gonzalo Pineda being fired. And By the way, in Major League Soccer right now, the firing of coaches. Gonzalo Pineda at Atlanta, Nico Estevez now at FC Dallas, Gary Smith in Nashville. Maybe the rope is getting a little bit shorter in MLS. Generally, people have ridden with coaches quite a while based on the playoff system. And you got some others that might be on the hot seat right now. Caleb Porter in New England, Frank Klopas in Chicago, Lucci Gonzalez in San Jose. So we'll see what happens there. The Dynamo are currently seventh in the West. They're coming off two straight multi-goal games. They've got changes that are expected in the transfer window per my interview with Pat Onstad, 3 to 4 changes. That's most on the mind, I think, of the Dynamo fan base right now, which has kind of been pretty quiet. Who will be acquired? Will the Dynamo get that striker position filled? Dynamo have 18 goals for, 18 goals against. Good news is they're going into this one after two multi-goal games. So the Dynamo will certainly be looking to continue in the goal-scoring department. That has been a real question. Hector Herrera now, his fitness level should be good. He should be rounding into more form. There will not be Coco Carrasquilla, as I mentioned. So we'll see how the Dynamo come out of this break. Breaks can be good to reboot, to get refreshed, to push the fitness levels of certain individuals. And then it can also, in some ways, not be good because you're not playing competitive games. In this case, I think this is going to be good for the Houston Dynamo. And then they'll return home against the Seattle Sounders, who are below them in the table on a Wednesday night match, which will be at Shell Energy Stadium. A couple of other notes here. Marco Reus is apparently headed to the LA Galaxy. Olivier Giroud to LAFC. So the big name acquisitions continue to come in Major League Soccer. Houston Dash lost at Louisville 2-0. They'll come back home against Angel City, who sits below them in the table. The Dash are 3 wins, 6 losses, 3 draws. Still in a build. 11th in the NWSL standings. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. As I mentioned, Yuval Renon, I had on the show some time back, under 17 at Werder Bremen. This is good when it comes to understanding the challenges of a young player making it in Europe. He now at Werder Bremen has moved up to the under 19 team. He is the leading goal scorer for them. This is a really interesting interview with a mature young man. Yuval Renon will be on next. Werder Bremen, under 19 team, and he will take us through the challenges of being a young American player in Europe and trying to make it. And he seems to be climbing that ladder. It's going to be interesting. Take a break right now. LSSE.net for your Copa America tickets. HoustonDynamo.com for your Dynamo tickets. Big shout out to Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. Also, big shout out to Cactus Music. My friend Quinn down there, get into Cactus Music for all your vinyl and CDs. And a big shout out also to Hugh O'Connor's Pub, and also to our great friends at Pitch 25, Brian Ching. That's great spots to be watching the upcoming Copa America and the Euros, not to mention the Houston Dynamo and Houston Dash games. And last but not least, LamontBrands.com. LamontBrands.com, that's where you get your Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats to benefit the 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation. And, of course, that is to benefit pediatric cancer. Back in a flash.
ESPN 97.5.
For more than a century, the Pendleton Roundup has defined what it means to be a cowboy. It also gave life to something equally renowned, Pendleton Whiskey, capturing that unique spirit in every bottle and honoring the enduring legacy of the American West. Pendleton Whiskey, made with the finest northern grains and cut with Mount Hood Glacier water. A whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us. That's Pendleton Whiskey. That's true Western tradition. Pendleton is the official whiskey of the PBR Tour.
Pendleton Distillers, Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Please drink responsibly. Join ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 all day long on Friday, June 14th at East River 9 as we broadcast live during the U.S. Open. Enjoy delicious food and drinks at the Riverhouse Restaurant while taking in the best skyline view in the whole city. East River 9 is the place to be on Friday, June 14th to watch the U.S. Open. Go to eastriver9.com to book a tee time, pickleball court, or sign up for our annual membership.
You've seen their billboards and know their slogan, but the personal injury attorneys at Push and Win are more than familiar faces and a clever catchphrase. The firm specializes in car accidents and has won more than $200 million in counting for their clients. Slips and falls, product liability, class action cases, and motor vehicle accidents. Push and Win has offices in Houston and San Antonio ready to help you fight the insurance company. Call their bilingual staff at 833-PUSH-WIN or visit pushwin.com for a 100% free consultation. They push, you win, Push and Win.
Progressive presents 10 things on a food truck owner's to-do list that are harder than getting a commercial auto insurance quote. Stocking the fridge, prepping the stations, finding employees that get along well, finding employees that actually do their job. Looking at you, Gary. Balancing the books, balancing the flavors, having a fresh menu and fresh produce and fresh meat, but never a fresh mouth. But the easiest thing on a small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you can save on commercial auto insurance. Get a quote in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And as we spoke about the Euros and Copa America, it's obviously coming to Houston. LSSC.net to get tickets. You're likely on July 4th going to see Lionel Messi and Argentina here if they win their group. So you want to go to these matches that are going to replicate what you're going to see in 2026 with the World Cup. Get your tickets at Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. I'm going to be giving away more tickets next week. All right. As you know, a while back we had an interview with a young talent at Werder Bremen, Yuval Ronan. And Yuval was at the time an under-17 from North Carolina in the Werder Bremen system. Well, he's now the leading goal scorer at the under-19 level, so we thought it really appropriate and interesting to catch up and bring him back on the show. And he joins us now from Raleigh, North Carolina. Yuval, how are you?
I'm awesome, Glenn. I'm awesome. Thank you very much for having me today.
Must be nice to be home with your family, huh?
Yes, yes. Enjoying mom's cooking and, you know, sisters running around everywhere annoying me, but that's family, you know?
Well, let's just get right to it because, you know, everybody was very impressed with your last interview on the show, that your maturity and everything. I'm going to give you a really simple one to start. What is the difference now, or the biggest difference is at the under 19 level where you're the leading goal scorer, to when you were at the under 17 age level?
Yeah, it's a very, very well asked question and a very big topic in Europe. Because as you know, the jump from U17 to U19, U19 has two age groups. So there's the older age group. It's a combination of the U19s and U18s. Because as you see, it goes from U17 to U19. There's no U18 in between. So for example, this year was the 2005 age group. In my age group, which is 2006, so it's always older players and younger players on one team in the whole.
So you're a younger U19.
Exactly. So this year is my first U19 year, and me and my age group from the U17 were the younger guys on the U19 year. And the tradition in Germany is that the older players get the priority. They're the ones that play. So as a younger guy coming into the U19s, you're basically told in the beginning of the year you won't get many minutes. It'll be very, very hard. And so even with all the success I had in the U17, it wasn't guaranteed that I would start, you know. It was a very challenging beginning of the year. And, you know, but I still managed to finish top goal scorer, top assister, and the top assists. But yeah, that's basically the overall general view of the differences. Also, U19 is much closer to pro, the pro team and the first team and second team. So then decisions start to not only be up to the head coach, if you know what I mean. So then he's getting directions from above him, and then of who he needs to play, when they need to play, what position they need to play. So all these things, you know, it's not just go out and play soccer anymore. You know, all these things are starting to become way more professional and way harder to show yourself.
Are you feeling that intensity, and are you feeling climbing that ladder, getting closer to the first and second team? And how much of a mental challenge of intensity is this now?
Yeah, intensity wise, you know, every year, you know, I talk with my dad about it, which is very involved with me. Every year it's more and more pressure because, as you know, it's closer and closer to like first team and second team pro football. And intensity wise, we feel it every day. You know, you can have an amazing game, but next week, first team says they want to see this player play a game. So then you have to change the, you know, he has to change the lineup, and then you're out of the lineup, for example. But recently I also had a first, my first experience with the first team of Bremen, which was awesome. Towards the end of the year, after I was very successful, the first team had a couple friendly games to end the year. And I was called up to there. It was a very nice experience. I had a nice assist there as well. And yeah, you know, it's just mentally, I'd say I'm very strong mentally. I'd say that's one of my biggest traits. And you hear the top football coaches in the world talking about it, soccer coaches in the world talking about it. They say football is 90% here in the brain and 10% on the field. Because, you know, I could have easily broken down, asked to come home after the first year. And after this year, especially, I could have asked to come home. You know what I mean? So, yeah, but then saying that, I feel more motivated than ever to go next year and do what I know I can do next year, which is, you know, finish the year with 15 goals and, you know, 10 assists, for example. So, you know, that's my motive. Those are my expectations that me and my dad have for me. And yeah.
Yuval Ronan joining us right now. I mean, you've been a part of a lot of the goal contributions. I want to take you back to getting that taste with the first team. That was probably done on purpose. That was probably a reward as well. And that must have been highly motivational for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. I mean, it was the first time I think there was I played in front of 5,000 people. So it was very, very cool. I mean, after the game, because I got subbed on at halftime to get some minutes. And then at the end of the game, all the fans stormed the field. It was my first time, I think, signing over 500 autographs, you know, 500 pictures. And, you know, it gives you like, I think it's smart from the club that they did that, you know, because it gives you like a taste and a bit extra of a push that, you know, I do want to be there. I do want to, you know, work hard. That's my goal. You know what I mean? And obviously seeing all the top players there with me, you know, I mean, these are players that are playing every weekend in front of millions. So,
yeah, what an experience. And you seem on the perfect rise right now. Results versus development, right? I mean, a lot of this is about the individual player, you. But results are important. And then I would add in, how much more do you get now tactically? Do you get a lot more? And does it mirror the first team, which I assume it would? But how about the addition of more tactical nuances that's expected from you on the field?
Well, obviously, you know, last year I was a striker and this year I was moved to the 10. So tactically, it does have a change, obviously, you know, because I'd say my four traits that make me as a player is my creativity, my playmaking, movement without the ball and understanding of space, and my finishing, which is also very important. And so, you know, last year, tactically, it was more about, you know, focus and develop the, you know, develop wise physicality, but my finishing and understanding of space countered that. Where this year, tactically, I had to more focus on like finding the right pockets of space as the 10, my playmaking, creativity, and like breaking the lines to go forward, you know, because as a 10, you're more of the playmaker. You know, this year I had to get the striker the ball, and last year the 10 had to get me the ball. You know what I mean? So tactically, it's different roles, and I'm getting a new view of the game tactically. also pressing wise, I'm not the first guy that's applying the pressure. You know, I'm the guy behind that's applying the second wave of pressure. So, you know, but it's little changes. At the end of the day, it's still, I'm getting very close to the goal and I'm in the attacking half of the field. So at the end of the day, it's just me and my creativity and, you know, ability and talent that, you know, makes a difference. So
Yuval Ronan joining us, Werder Bremen under 19 team, grew up in North Carolina. He's speaking to us from North Carolina. All right. So, you know, you get into the 10, has it improved your distribution and that side of the game? I would imagine.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's very important that every player is able to play more than one position. I think you, for coaches and to succeed at a high level, you know, you look at Foden, you look at City, the best teams in the world, Madrid, every player on the team can play another position. You know what I mean? So I think it was very, very important for my development this year that I played the 10, because now I'm coming into next year being able to play a very good striker role and a very good 10 role. So I think it was very, very good for my development. And obviously it took a bit of getting used to in the beginning of the season. But you look at the last 7-8 games I had towards the end of the season, where also the team was very strong. You look at those last games and it's, you know, it's 6-7 games, I think. Or no, 6 games and like 8 goals or 8 goal contributions. So it was very, very good.
Yuval Ronan, Werder Bremen's under 19 team. He's an American over in the Bundesliga. What would be your advice for American youth players from your experience? What would be something you would maybe say to them if they want to go next level?
What aspect? Mentally,
just from the overall playing perspective, what is the most valuable piece for you?
Most valuable piece for me is that I have my dad that I can trust every day, and that is very, very smart. I don't just say that because I'm his son. He's very, very smart. You know, he's in every part of negotiations, everything. He's the one that leads, and then he comes to me and tells me where we stand. I say that's the number one most important thing, and obviously having a family that supports me. Number two thing is, like I said, the mental. You know, I come home here, I spend time with friends, but I don't do things that are going to affect me in the future. You know what I mean? I'm able to stay focused constantly. And then I would say third is, you know, find your strengths. You know, if you want to go to Europe, you can't just be another player, because they can find another player locally in Germany. So you need to have something that they don't have right now in their club. And that was the one sentence and phrase that we were told when we were going on trials. It was, you have to have something that they don't have and they can't find. Because, you know, there's a ton of sixes, a ton of center backs, a ton of eights, a ton of wingers, where if you're same level as them, they're not going to bring you in from America to do that. You know, we've also, now that I've been around the club for 2 years now, there's been a lot of trialists that I've seen come in and out. And the one thing that I hear in the club is like, he wasn't good enough to bring from the US. You know what I mean? That was the one phrase they would always say.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, one, you got to find your strengths and, you know, stick to them and market those strengths.
Well, you answered that beautifully, Yuval. Now, I would say that visible coming and going of players has to be motivational too, in a specific way, right? Because that's a sad moment when a kid comes to a trial and is at a club and then all of a sudden isn't there. And that is the harsh reality of the business though, right?
Yeah. I mean, like when we went on trials, you know, Greg Peterson, which is a leading professional consultant of ours, which we were very close with, me and my dad, he took us on a couple trials. And, you know, I'll be honest, one, we went on a lot of trials. A lot of them were very positive and good feedback. But there was a couple also that said, maybe not for us at the moment, you know. And that's where the mental comes into play, where you got to understand that soccer, there's 1,000 opinions, you know. It's not like football or basketball where every player has a ranking. You know, in soccer, one coach thinks different and the other coach thinks different. So it's about finding the right club for you. And so I would say, you know, you see the players coming and going, and you gotta stay motivated. You gotta, you know, keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye on the prize.
Yuval, this is exceptional stuff. I want to thank you very much for coming on. You know, really nice to see you again. Nice to catch up. Nice to see your dad prior to the interview. And yep, Keep up the good work. We'll get you back on again in the future. And you know, really wise, mature words from a highly talented young man. Keep scoring goals, keep creating goals, and keep enjoying yourself and working hard. Thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
All right. If only I was that mature at that age. Yuval Ronan of Werder Bremen's under 19 team. That was some special stuff right there from a young man. And if you're a youth soccer player and you listen to that, there's some things to take to heart. We're going to take a break right now. Reminder, you can get the podcast of this show at Spotify, Apple, and Google, or at ESPN975.com. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with U.S. Former under-20 coach, former Houston Dynamo coach, former U.S. international Tab Ramos.
ESPN 97.5.
Most people are tired and worn down by the time they get to the mortgage part of a home purchase, so they don't properly shop their mortgage. That's when you should call Kent Jones at Dream Rate Mortgage. His mission is simple: educate and help borrowers save money. With 29 years of experience, Kent can get you a quick quote without an application or credit pull. Call or text Kent at Dream Rate at 713-520-LOAN. That's 713-520-5626, or visit 975loan.com.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 248-2473. J. Kent Jones, NMLS number 356118.
John Granato here with Dr. Kane Linville from 975hair.com. Doc, there's all kinds of hair replacement guys out there right now. How is 975 Hair doing?
Well, we're doing great. I think the response from the listeners has been huge, and it just keeps going. So we're doing really well. I'm told that we're among the top in the city, and I think that's just a testament to customizing every patient's plan, not overcharging or overselling, and then you get word of mouth that also gets out there.
975hair.com, 975hair.com.
Gone! Your home for the Sugarland Space Cowboys is ESPN 92.5. Listen to every hit, pitch, and big play of the 2024 season right here on ESPN 92.5.
Hey, Branham here. Have you thought about artificial grass for your yard? Well, let me tell you about Sinlawn. They're the industry's best when it comes to quality artificial grass and installation. Sinlawn is for your yard, your kid's playground, a dog run, a putting green, even a patio. And just think, with Sinlawn, no more mowing, watering, or putting chemicals in your yard. And no more dirt and mud in the house from kids or dogs. Learn more at 975sinlawn.com. That's 975sinlawn.com.
You're going on a trip, but where are you going to stay? How much will it cost? Well, it'll cost less by booking on besthotelrates.com. Go to besthotelrates.com, enter your email address, and start shopping for your next hotel room. Besthotelrates.com, it's in the name.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. Listen, you don't have to suffer any longer. I know a lot of you out there have been dealing with knee, hip, shoulder, back problems. If you've got pains in the joint that never go away, it's a chronic problem. That's inflammation you're dealing with. And QC Kinetics has advanced treatments that harness your body's ability to restore and repair damaged tissue. It's called regenerative medicine, and I'm talking about lasting joint pain relief. Now you can walk and run and hike and play golf and move again pain-free. Do the things that you've loved to do in the past, but you haven't been able to do. And this is all without shots and the steroids, the pain medicine, the surgery, the downtime. You don't have to deal with that. Their advanced protocols have enabled tens of thousands of patients to reclaim their mobility. Stop putting it off. It's only going to get worse unless you're able to get it taken care of with QC Kinetics. Make sure you go to the website for your free consultation. That's QCKinetics.com. Four locations in Houston, QCKinetics.com.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the final segment tonight of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Always grateful to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm getting soccer on the airwaves here. 713-CALL-NOW, DaspitLaw.com. They'll work for you 24 hours. Personal injury attorneys, car, boat, motorcycle, you name it. The firm to go with, John Daspit and Daspit Law Firm. Tab Ramos joins us now, and excited as always to have Tab on the show. How are you, Tab?
Good. My pleasure always to be on. Ben, thanks.
We're going to cut to the chase here. I enjoyed watching you and Andreas Kantor on the broadcast of the U.S. game to Colombia. U.S. get a pretty good beatdown from Colombia, 5-1. How do you position this right now? And let's start positioning it in the context of simply the Copa America.
Well, in the context of Copa America, obviously it's not a good start, let's say, right? Because you want your team, you know, it's not so bad to take a loss going into the tournament, especially against a top team, because Colombia is one of the top teams in the world right now. But, you know, losing 5-1 could potentially have the opposite effect and take a lot of confidence away. In that, in terms of just focusing on Copa America, I think it's certainly a negative result.
Biggest takeaway from you from the U.S. perspective in this game?
I think purely speaking of the game, you know, I thought the U.S. for a while hung in there. You know, the first half, Colombia was obviously much better, but U.S. had chances, got in the box a few times. And then the second half, beginning of the second half, I thought the first 10, 15 minutes of the second half, U.S. had a little bit of a higher line. Colombia, you know, as we said in the air at the time, sometimes you don't know what coaches are working on. So I don't know if it was because U.S. came out more aggressive or if it was because maybe Colombia tried to work a little bit on a lower block because they're also preparing for a tournament. But the fact was U.S. was taking the ball a little bit more. They had a little bit more possession and were looking a little bit better. And then the team started to slowly fall apart. And partly that is obviously because, you know, Colombia is just a good team and they have great players. And it doesn't take many chances for great players to make them count. And basically that's what happened. You know, they took advantage of turnovers. There's a lot of substitutions on both sides. You know, U.S. took some guys out and Colombia also made 6 substitutions. And the guys that came in for Colombia just looked hungrier, really. And they made a big difference. And in the end, you know, it's a little bit of an embarrassing result, to be honest.
Todd Ramos joining us here, talking about the U.S. men's national team after the loss 5-1 to Colombia. A lot of the narrative out there that I have seen and read, and I'm in agreement with, I'm not sure they were up for the moment. Did you see that?
Well, I did. Yeah, I've read, you know, what's been out there. I heard what Berhalter had to say also. How can you not be up for the moment? I mean, I'm trying to figure out how you fix that. Or, if, you know, obviously that's what the coach is for, right? I mean, that's the part that's a little bit puzzling for me, that now we're in the 6th year of, you know, the Berhalter leadership of this team. And we're talking about a team not being ready to play. And in particular, a team that has played a very weak schedule over the last 5-6 years where they barely had any big games. This was a big game. And so there was really no excuse to not be prepared.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. And I mean, obviously as an under 20 coach, if your team had a day where they weren't motivated, did you take responsibility for that? You and your staff? I mean, how does that work sometimes? Because you can be motivated as a staff and for some reason your team just doesn't seem to be there.
You're going to have those moments sometimes. And of course, it always falls on the coach. I think, you know, I was in Houston for 2 years, Glenn. I don't think there was one time where, you know, I didn't take the responsibility myself for any result that we ever had. And I think as a coach, you do that. You do that because ultimately that's what you're there for. And this case is a little bit, puzzling for me, what's come out of here. And hopefully, you know, they'll take this loss as sort of a little bit of a revolution going into the bigger games that are coming, because we're already on the countdown to 2026. And 6 years in the same system with the same coach and seeing what we saw, you know, a couple days ago is disheartening, to, you know, to be fair.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. Todd Ramos joining us, former under 20 coach, you remember here in Houston, and also with his great years playing for the U.S. national team. All right. A big drop off from not having Tyler Adams and Sergiño Dest in the lineup. That's my judgment.
Yeah, I mean, those are important pieces. You know, Sergiño, not only is he defensively has the quickness to deal with the firepower that other teams may throw at you, But attacking-wise, he's unpredictable and gives you a lot. Just, you know, we've relied a lot on Anthony Robinson on the other side because he does a good job going forward. But Serginho gives you more because he can come inside, he can go wide, he can hurt you in a lot of different ways on the attacking end. So certainly that's a big loss for the team. But this happens. This happens to every team. Every team has injuries. Every team has players out, and you just have to deal with that. And now, obviously, you know, Scully had his chance, and I thought he did okay for a while. And let's see what happens. Let's see if the coach believes that he won that position. So we'll see. In terms of Tyler Adams, obviously Tyler's been a leader, you know, for this team and makes the team better. But also he's been injured for the last really couple of years now. And that's difficult. That's difficult. He hasn't played a lot of games. And when you don't play a lot of games, you can sometimes come up with one big game, but it's hard to have the consistency game after game. And I think it's going to be difficult. Copa America will be difficult for Tyler Adams if he plays a lot.
Well, this is what we always want, right? We want to measure ourselves against the Colombias, the Brazils. Obviously, in our group, we have Uruguay, Panama, and Bolivia. By the way, with Panama holding the U.S. as maybe a target, that may not be the easiest of groups either. But your ex-teammate Alexi Lalas came out and said this is concerning, it's uncertain, and I think that's probably why everybody, you know, is in agreement when you say that, you know, we seem to kind of flatline at this point.
And it's been a while now, because if we, you know, had we been doing well and been happy with the team all along, and had we had a very good World Cup and some big wins here and there, then we can say, okay, you know, we weren't up for the task, you know, against Colombia. But I think since we haven't seen big wins, we haven't seen big runs, we haven't seen, you know, all of our biggest accomplishments have been against Mexico. And now, you know, we're starting to find out that Mexico is really not very good. And so what is it? So was it really us, or is it that the competition is not there? Look, it's easy when you don't coach the team to start passing blame. The bottom line is, I think the Nations League is really hurting our program. I think for both U.S. and Mexico to be in the Nations League is a big, big problem, because that stops you from playing bigger teams around the world that can make you better, that can give you results like this, where you don't sleep at night and where you have to get up better the next day. I think that's one of the, I can blame a little bit of that, because our schedule has been so weak for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, so this is a really interesting point, and I'm glad you brought it up, talking about the Nations League. And I mean, obviously the game is just getting so over-commercialized, and so many decisions are being made based on monetization as opposed to player development. Is there a solution to that?
Well, I'm sure there has to be a solution to that. I'm just not sure that, you know, things are planned so far ahead that I think we're in the middle of, let's say, the beginning, more like the beginning of the Nations League. It's only gone on for a couple of years. So I think it's likely an experiment that will go on for a little while, and an experiment that will likely separate maybe U.S. and Mexico a little bit more from the rest of the world, because they will lack that consistency of real competition all of the time.
Tab Ramos joining us here, talking U.S. men's national team as we continue on. Next up for the U.S., Wednesday night, they take on Brazil. Tab will have the call of that game. He will be down in Orlando with Andreas Cantor, the legendary announcer. So let's position the Brazil match, because, you know, the team has sometimes responded after bad games under Greg Berhalter. This one seems to loom pretty large, though.
Yeah, no doubt. But, I trust... You know, American teams have always bounced back, and I trust that we continue with that tradition of doing the same. I think the team not bouncing, and I know Brazil obviously is a great team, but we've played great teams before and beat them, and we haven't been as good as other teams and won games. I expect a bounce from the team. I expect the team to come back and give us a good showing against Brazil. And then what we have to look at is the Copa America and see how far we can go. Because, you know, let's not forget that I haven't heard it lately, but up until a year ago, we're still calling this generation the golden generation. And so we're waiting for some big results from the Golden Generation. And I think no better time to do it than this Copa America. I think we need to make a run, and why not do it in this Copa America?
Here's a good question for you. Based on your group of guys back in your day to this so-called Golden Generation, which is playing on big clubs in Europe and, you know, obviously from the standpoint of players overseas, it's exponentially grown. How do you position the two groups, and what do you see in this group being as connected as you are in comparison to your group?
Yeah, that's difficult, Glenn, because, you know, it's almost like, okay, and how do we compare that to the Boston Celtics of the 60s? You know, like, so, you know,
it is relative.
I think it's apples and oranges, right? So, you know, you can only compare by the results you get against the best in the world. What can you do? Obviously, we were weak when we were playing. We had good players. We did the best we could. But don't forget that just about every game we played it as an underdog. There was no question. We were an underdog. We were not as good as the other teams. And that included at times Honduras. That included at times earlier on, it included El Salvador. Yeah. You know, so you just have to overcome that. And I think how are we doing in games where we're underdogs now? And the answer to that is not well. We don't do well. We're winning the games we're supposed to win. And by the way, we're struggling to win some games we're supposed to win. As the Jamaica case a couple months ago with that lucky bounce, right? We deserve to win the game, but at the end of the day, we're winning the games we're supposed to win, and we're not winning any games we're not supposed to win. And every other generation of players has done that. You could go back to 1950 with Walter Barr and Harry Keough, and they did what they were not supposed to do. Then you come up to the 90s, we all did what we weren't supposed to do. In the 2000s, everybody. So all the generations of players have done what they're not supposed to do. At the very least, if this is the Golden Generation, at the very least, we need the same. We need for them to do at least the same.
Tab, dare I say it, could these players be too comfortable with a manager?
I feel a little bit of that. I feel a little bit of what happened when maybe Steve Sampson took over the national team after Bora left, where the players were very supportive. You know, here we have an American coach, blah, blah, blah. And this is, you know, and I think maybe that a little bit of, and that, by the way, you know, turned out in disaster in 1998. And so I feel a little bit of that, you know, from the outside, because I have to say I'm not involved on the inside of what's going on with the team. So I may be wrong, but I feel like from watching the team play, I feel a little too much comfort.
98, was that too cliquish of a team?
A little bit. It was a little bit. It was a difficult. We had a great team. We had a great team.
That's
there were
talent.
I would have to say, even though the teams earlier accomplished more, that was probably the best team I had, best U.S. team I had been on. And we fell short. Of course, we had Germany. We had Yugoslavia in our group. But we failed to win the game we were supposed to win, which was the Iran game. And so that really put us behind every other team that, you know, because U.S. teams were just not used to losing games you're not supposed to. So, the 98 was difficult, but listen, I think the important part is we're here. There's time for recovery. I think we have Brazil. What better team to have a good result against than Brazil that can give you a lot of confidence going into Copa America? I'm sure the guys are ready to go. And I think if they can get this result, they could possibly turn this around. But we can't make any more mistakes, because if we make any more mistakes, I think it's time for a change.
Tab Ramos joining us here. Well, certainly to your point of being the underdog, they will be on Wednesday night. That's for sure. You know, for the future of the national team program, the fact that we have the 2026 World Cup as a host nation, along with Canada and Mexico coming up in 2026, how important is it for the U.S. to have a good run in this Copa America for just the overall growth of the game and awareness of the game?
You know, that's a really good question, Glenn. And the answer to that is it's really important that we win it, or we lose in the final, or we get to the semifinal. I think it's really important because you know where we are. U.S. just played Colombia in Washington, D.C., well, in Maryland, right? But the game in the stands looked no different than a game in the 90s. So, which means our fans aren't really going to the games. And so we have to get our fans to the games. And the way to get our fans to the game is by showing them we not only we can play against anyone, but we can beat anyone. And we need this Copa America to do that.
So at the risk, and I don't want this to sound, you know, I don't want this to sound disrespectful, but is soccer comparatively to the other big three sports, even with all the growth at the youth level and everything, are we still kind of mom and pop in a way?
I don't, you know, and we always have to give credit to how amazing it has been, what the job that MLS has done and the owners of MLS and the investment into not only players and stadiums and facilities, but into development of players. And I think, man, I could have never imagined that we'd be here this fast in only 30 years because, you know, we're older guys now, so 30 years go by fast. So I could have never imagined that. But I also could not have imagined that if we were going to be here, that the fan base wouldn't be parallel to the growth. And it has not been parallel at all. I think the fan base has been left behind. I think, you know, talking about New Jersey, I don't think, you know, if we were going to talk MLS, for example, I don't think in New Jersey many more people know Red Bull players today than they knew Metro Stars players back in 96 or 98. You know, I think that's a problem. And I think in general, not many more people go to U.S. national team games now than they were in the late 90s. So I think that's a negative, too. So we need to win the fans back. We need to convert fans. And I think that has not been parallel. It's not. It has not been the same as the I don't think the investment has paid off in terms of fan base being more attracted to the game.
Tab, exceptional stuff. Love your insight on all of this. Appreciate it very much. We're looking forward to seeing what your next move is. But we know that is to get on a plane and go down to Orlando and call the U.S.-Brazil game. So have a great call. Say hello to my friend Andreas Contor. And we appreciate you wrapping the show up tonight in big style.
I will. Thank you very much. Really excited to go call that Brazil game. I think it'll be a great game.
I miss you here in Houston, by the way.
I miss Houston, too. I love my time there. You know that.
All right, Tab. Thanks again.
All right. Take care.
All right. That's how we wrap it up here tonight. Don't forget the presenting sponsor, DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. Spotify, Apple, Google to get the podcast. LamontBrands.com for T-shirts and hats. Benefits the 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation for pediatric cancer and scholarships for cancer patients. It's a great organization. That does it tonight. Remember, soccer matters.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.